Welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. My name is Bee Kyle. I'm the president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I always enjoy these. This is my chance to have conversations with friends and leaders among us doing great things within the community and within their organizations. And one such person is my guest today. I consider her a dear friend. She's a chamber member and a leader of a premier healthcare organization in our state and country. Barbara Jors is the president and CEO of Gillette Children, and she has served at Gillette's CEO now for nearly 9 years. So welcome, welcome. It's so good to see your face.
Oh, thank you. Good to see you again.
It's unfortunate that our listeners don't get to watch us because we're Zooming this and we're talking back and forth, and it's always delightful. So anyway, so I've known you for a while, but I would love to introduce you to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Minnesota.
Oh, well, coming to Minnesota was, as you said, it's almost 10 years ago now, so over nine. Gillette Children's brought me in. So Gillette's a pillar in the Minnesota society, was looking for a new leader, and they contacted me, and it was a no-brainer. So I got on a plane to come over to meet some members of the board at the time and some of the leaders. And I stepped foot into the St. Paul campus and I thought to myself, oh, wow, this is where I need to be. So I think you and I have talked over the time about worlds colliding and when it's a good thing. Yeah. And so, you know, my whole training and education and career has been around healthcare policy and management. And it really all came together when I was asked to take the helm at Gillette and work with this incredibly talented team for a population that's often overlooked by so many in our society. So that theme of inclusion and possibility, it's been an honor. So yeah, I'm one of those policy and health administration wonks. So.
Well, and I think it's Minnesota's benefit that we got you. Because, you know, even when you first got here and I learned, and then over the years, I've learned, oh, you did these amazing things. Oh my goodness, you were there. So the fact that you chose to come to Minnesota is extraordinary. I mean, you in your own right, you're nationally recognized. So where are some of the places that you've been to outside of Minnesota? You were in Nashville, you were in DC, you've been in the North. So you get, you know, we're the North sisters, right?
Coming from
Buffalo and New York. We still spent a little bit of time in New York. So kind of what is your circuitous route to get there?
Yeah, right. So as you alluded to, but I'll put words in your mouth. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Born and raised in Western New York, up on the other side of the Great Lakes between, you know, Lake Erie and Lake Ontario.
Yes, and where we get actually more snow than Minnesota does, by the way.
Oh,
so
yes,
when Minnesotans don't feel like we own that, you know, colder here, but there's certainly a lot of lake effect snow in Buffalo.
Absolutely. It's sunnier here in Minnesota. I'll take that over the wet snow belt any day.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in Buffalo and then went for my education down in Washington, D.C. So a little bit of a culture shock, but then absolutely loved it. Got a few degrees there and started working with some academic medical centers and a professional services firm. And then, you know, it seems all just like yesterday, but it's been so fast. And spent 10 years in D.C. And then I went up for an opportunity with a large community and national community health system, which took me to Philadelphia. And then I was recruited down to Nashville for a large academic medical center and spent 10 years there. And that's where I got matched up with pediatrics and a children's hospital. And for those who may or may not know my story, I was how I got into this is when I was five, I had a health experience that I didn't like. And that's an agreement with my surgeon that I was going to get engaged and fix it. But, you know, when you're an adult, sometimes you want to go back to where the trauma was informed, right? And so started working with kids. Are you ready for this? Be almost 20 years ago. So almost 30 years in. And then that journey took me to about 3 years over in Milwaukee. I was settling in a pediatric health system there. And that's when I got matched with Gillette. And I cannot believe how fast the time has gone. I'm fortunate. I'm one of those people. My my work, you know, my career work doesn't feel like work. It's just mm-hmm. a part of me. And I think Gillette really brought it full circle. Like I said, great people, great mission, and every family and that I encounter, and families from all places and different caregivers in the home. It is amazing how strong some parts of our community are. Mm-hmm. And yet they're so underrepresented, right?
You know? Well, and candidly, I would say that that kind of speaks to Gillette. I mean, you are, I mean, folks, if you don't know Barbara, you've got to know her. She is this itty bitty little person. She takes up more space.
Not than so itty bitty anymore.
Well, let's not talk about COVID, right? She's this, you know, petite little thing, but she's got energy that just exudes from her, and she's unapologetic about her work and her commitment and the organization she represents and the sector she represents. She is bold, and it's really exciting and dynamic. And I've long talked about Gillette as the quiet wonder, because you and I met originally when you first came to the state, because Gillette was working on a kind of a real estate project that took years, but your perseverance made it happen, which is fabulous. But, and I want you to tell us about that, but I always thought of Gillette as this quiet wonder. You know, you do such amazing things and we don't hear about it. I mean, this is the nation's first hospital dedicated to serving children with disabilities. You've been growing. So tell us a little bit about Gillette, because you really elevated the visibility with bringing your energy to it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, Gillette is just one of those wow things where, to your point, we're like, why isn't this top of mind? It's because right. of the marketing. And so I'll start with Gillette is now a small, independent, not-for-profit clinical system for children with disabilities, but we're 125 years old this year.
Congratulations, and, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And thousands of people before me and the current team that really had this vision that is unwavering today. Yeah. And the whole idea was born between a state listening mm-hmm. when a physician and someone who has was an advocate for individuals like herself who had a skeletal condition to say, you know, we should be able to collaborate with families and their loved mm-hmm. ones and with different partners in the community and redefine what's possible for children who have musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, or in other ways, you know, brain, bone, and movement conditions. And Gillette has impacted how cerebral palsy is treated around the world, how certain rare diseases such as SMA and Rett and the contributions to the field and research. So small little place, which people lose a very distinct population and mission, but such an impact on society today. And even during at the start of the pandemic, it's that thought of how do we make sure Gillette continues going through and finding patients and individuals who need care. So didn't have a COVID generation of children who couldn't get help and for conditions that are very treatable today and very innovatively able to set their own goals and go. So I am always still shocked in Minnesota when people are like, one, Gillette, are you part of that company, you know, up in the Northeast right. for bathroom products? No, we're not. We're actually founded by Minnesota's first orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Gillette, and his descendants are still connected with us. And then Jesse Haskins, who is the young advocate I referenced, was in college at the time. And, you know, she had a vision, he had a skill, and together they were well received in the last day of the 1897 session, like in the last hours from what we can tell. This idea, somebody said, okay, try it. And that, wow. okay, try it, innovative, aspirational type of feeling is so still alive by everyone who commits to work at Gillette. It's like I said, it's not work yet. You know, okay. just okay, try it and let's go. And I think about how many lives have been impacted, those served and those who have served. Just what a great win-win it is. Across all walks of life.
Well, you know, and yet the quiet wonder that it is, people in Minnesota don't know. When you say that you knew about Gillette in DC and Nashville and Philadelphia and even Milwaukee, What do people in the country know about Gillette that perhaps we Minnesotans don't even see or know about?
How to say it's like a patient's in their system,
yeah,
and they're with them, and the family and the caregivers, home caregivers, feel like there's something more with the child. They're like, you know, we just don't feel like it's there. Mm-hmm. Gillette is a 100% referral system. So when the family and providers in other states and other countries are talking and saying, what is possible? And they say, well, there's this place. And that's what it is. So there's this place in Minnesota. Oh. And what it sounds like is they're comfortable with the unknowns. So a lot of children come to us after 1, 2, 3 other organizations, not always with a diagnosis, but when you work with brain bone type conditions, you can start alleviating and helping with the symptoms and working with somebody. So the teams at Gillette, the clinical teams, they work together, they're proactive, and they'll step in and meet and always working to try to find out what's that definitive diagnosis. But hey, what are the goals of this patient and how can we help? And those are some of the best stories when you come. If you need a pick me up, come into Gillette, find a family that found us from another country or another state and where they're like, and then they come to Minnesota and they're so well received, right? The hotels welcome them, especially in St. Paul. We have a lot of great partners with the hotels and the transportation companies and our airport and everyone who helps bring us together. The families are always like, we got in here, and they're like, oh, Gillette, it's that little place. It's that little place. So we're fine being that little place, but you know, big impact. That's what I think Minnesotans need to know is little place, big impact and great hearts and minds.
You and I have talked before, and I really appreciate the story about how your patients, your families, you empower them to take ownership of their experience. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that was kind of a new concept for me.
Right. So our care model is quite unique. And a few years ago, we were very intentional with those we serve and our staff to say, what makes it different, right? Because healthcare, in case you didn't know, has a lot of jargon, right?
I was in the military. I know about jargon.
We talk like it's a whole different world, and we expect people to understand. So part of the work I did early on is asking the teams, but what makes us different? Yeah. And with meeting with our families, it was the fact that we're proactive. And you can't be proactive in a clinical journey unless the patient and their care unit around them. And some have families, some are in a group home situation, others are with extended community members, right? So whoever's in their life, what's that proactive, we have a goal and we want to meet it. And then you start building a relationship, which builds trust, which is that second part. And then it's with experts, right? So to the point of your question, everyone at Gillette, every role up and down the organization, they're great at what they do.
Mm.
But what's more powerful is when the family can be engaged and we recognize their expertise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And working together to achieve those goals. We have to listen. It's about intentionality. And it's really about always keeping the patient in the center of what is their goal. We have a lot of options. There's not one path for any patient. Everybody's unique, thankfully, or else this world would be super boring if we were all the same. But even within that, we can't define a person by a diagnosis. And we shouldn't. And that's what I'm so honored of and proud of our teams. They'll get to know the individual in front of them, but also know the community around them. What are their supports at school? What are they engaged in the society, you know, in society? And, you know, with the pandemic, we were able to go online a little bit more and get into the home and even be a little bit more realistic. I mean, you come into Gillette, you see all this technology, right? We got the Loco Man and we have these big exoskeletons and all this high-end technology. Well, who has that at home? So working with the families to engage and see, what do you have at home? Let's keep these gains going and really make everybody feel like they can take control.
And make it human.
And make it human and realistic. Expertise doesn't mean dominance. Right.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Okay. I got to write that one down.
Yeah. That's good. It's oh gosh, what was I listening to this morning when we started talking about status conflict, right? I like our care model because it's showing people are coming together and we assume everybody has value of what they're bringing in. There's not that that traditional status conflict of, oh, we're the provider, you're the one we're serving, and it should never be one way. And, you know, that's the expectation. And I love that about our team is meeting people where they're at and listening to see where we want to go.
Well, and you're so real too. I mean, the culture just fits you in a way that you probably didn't even realize when you got hired that you are all 100% authentic, you know, and I love that about you. Well, and this
not everybody loves that.
Well, I mean, that's true. Not everybody likes authenticity or straight deal. And I get that, you know, and it's the price you pay for being real and willing to pay it. And I appreciate that. This is a big year for you all, particularly because, you know, it's 125th anniversary. As you say, you're coming up on 10 years. There's so much to be proud of and so much that you're really working on and focusing on now. What would you say? Tell us a little bit about how you're celebrating the anniversary. You've got a new brand. You're elevating your visibility amazingly. What are some things you're particularly proud of right now?
Oh, boy. So 125 years, one. And what I love about Gillette is we've got this legacy that helped get us here today, but it doesn't hold us back. And so 125 years of this feeling and the team who's here today, and there's 1500 strong of saying, but what about tomorrow and the years after? So we celebrate that. What's that aspirational? So with the brand that refresh, it was, you know, 2022 is a lot different than 1897, thankfully. And also just, you know, over the years from gaining independence as a health system and being a freestanding hospital now, is that whole modern feeling of inclusion and motion and how do we reach people where it's the patient perspective. So when you look at our brand, it was built up from our frontline staff and from talking with families about what they want. And they want to see movement, you know, which is part of our clinical calling, but also movement of the organization. They want to know that other families can access all the great clinical and research and through theirs. For centuries to come. So this year we celebrate 125 humans of Gillette, you know, key instrumental people throughout our century plus. We had a great event, which you were at. Thank you.
And brought my little boys. They loved it.
Those little cuties and everybody coming in called Imagineland, which we celebrated in a new structure that we have on our St. Paul campus. At the end of October, on October 29th, we have Illuminate the Future, which, you know, everybody, we're starting to bring people out again, right? Yeah. So we're going to be celebrating in, you know, down at St. Paul's River Center and celebrate the future and the incredible work our teams do around cerebral palsy care. And, you know, I'd love to see people. It is a fundraiser, but it's a great time to come out and it's not a sit down. It's going to be different because we know all of us have a changed expectation from the past 3 years. And I think it's celebrating those who are here today, making sure research and clinical care advances for tomorrow and and celebrating all the families that have trusted us. So we do things throughout the event. As a children's hospital, we do events throughout the year and we're sprinkling in that 125 to say, hey, you know what? Gillette has been through so many unique times in US and world history. And we just did it again. We've been through it. You know, what's next, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we keep putting our vision a little bit more out there? So with the new brand, it's about every child being able to define their own story. Don't label people. Don't label people by a diagnosis or by different abilities. And how do we celebrate that and say it's, you know, it's okay, right? Everybody has their own goal and our 125th are rising to meet that.
That's amazing. That's just truly amazing. You know, you mentioned COVID and the pandemic and we, you know, we're still feeling the after effects and into 2023, no doubt. What would you say you've learned? This is just about Barbara now. What would you say you've learned about yourself? You know, I suppose through your season here, because now you're being Minnesota-ified And we have very specific expectations that you stay here, you raise your babies here, you bring your kids back, you know, all these things are really important. But also, you know, in the last couple of years, what have you learned about yourself or maybe lessons that you're going to take forward?
Well, I definitely learned that I'm horrible at ice skating still. So, it's, so I don't think I can really ever catch that, but I'll try to be better at curling. you know, what I learned, and I think you and I saw each other throughout the pandemic, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think we went for sushi and lunch.
You made a point.
To get out. And there's no doubt at point you saw it and other people saw it. So what I realized during all of this is I can get tired.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to accept that I couldn't just churn and burn 20 hours a day anymore, 7 days a week. Not good for the organization, not good for my family. But I finally said to myself, oh, it might not be good for me either. Mm. And I struggle with it. It's almost like an addiction. One of my board members let me, you know, you use your board sometimes as the, am I okay? And going through, and one board member is like, it's almost like you're just so addicted. And it's because there's so much to do in healthcare. And my whole career, I just wanted to create change and go. And then all of a sudden you realize where you are in your life and how much there still is. And there's always going to be change and there's always going to be this evolution. And I got tired. And so I finally did. I'm not great at it, but for those on the call who know me, I'm better at it, of trying to take some time for me and realizing, mm-hmm. you know, can you really keep going on 4 hours sleep? And can you, you know, really go without getting outside during the day for air and just being inside the hospital and working? And can you really be present at a family event or even at dinner once in a while? If in your head, you're always like, what's that? What is this? Or how can we improve? And so my sense of urgency for healthcare and for Gillette and all we serve, you know, it's real for me. I take the role I have incredibly serious, but how do I do it in a way that I don't harm myself is probably as much as I did during COVID and staying healthy. And I appreciate you and others in the community where we're like, let's just have a walking meeting. Let's get out and, you mm-hmm. know, eat. And leaders aren't always the healthiest people. We try, we coach our teams, and I'm really great at helping my teams do that. And I have to, I hope I can stop saying, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And I can actually say I can be a better role model for it. Been the hardest thing for myself.
Oh my gosh. I totally, totally am empathizing with that. In fact, you said before that, you know, it's not about balance. It's about integration, right? Finding that rhythm. Because you know, if you love what you do, it's a part of your life. It simply can't be your life. I'm in the same boat with you about integrating such that, in fact, I'm taking a spontaneous weekend with my sister just because she called and said, can you take, you know, a Friday off in October and we'll do an adventure together? Just sure. On it for no reason other than a break. Just those moments, those quiet moments of joy that are found outside of work, because you find lots of joy inside of work too. And at the end of the day, at the end of your career, you want to look back and feel like you had work and you had your loved ones and you had your social life and your friends. Right. Like you and I, you've been so good about making sure that we get together regularly, which I've so deeply appreciated. I hope you know that.
I do. So that's we haven't done it for, we've missed like 2 or 3 months. We gotta get our A game back on.
This is true, but pausing for the things that matter the most for you. I think that's a great lesson. So I appreciate you saying that. And then I have one final question for you, and this is kind of informing my work. You come in and I love talking to folks who have moved into market because you've got a broader lens and you've seen markets all over the country. And I'm not a career chamber person. So I'm always looking from a business lens. How do we make a chamber of commerce? What's that value proposition for our members and for the community at large? So I want to know, you know, how do you see the value of chambers and how are we doing in that measurement? What can we do more to do better?
Yeah, so I think the most obvious thing about the chamber, especially SPAC, I'm sorry, the St. Paul area, Chamber of Commerce, otherwise known as SPAC.
Otherwise known as SPAC.
Yeah, they, one, just the sense of community. So, I mean, the obvious statement is when we're engaged with the chamber, we're meeting people outside our field. So right there, it's different influence and different levels of support. And I've met some of the, some incredible people, but also companies that the chamber bring together. And a community is all relationship built. So I like how the chamber does that informally and formally. And so everything from the equity series that you recently had, I think it was called the Equity Leadership Series.
Right.
We had so many staff attend that, and it's about their own journey, but our organizational journey, and then the community at large, right? Reinforcing about there's inequities in every lens of life and how the chamber can help us realize what they are, but you're part of the solution. It's not just, hey, here's something about our region. The chamber's so engaged in the solution, but also leadership St. Paul and helping identify the future talents in our community at the different companies, which then brings together so many different agencies and organizations. You yourself, my dear, are bold in advocacy. And so the sense of community law and efforts and how civics come together. It's, you know, if you're an academic wonk, it's a nice thing to sit back and look at to say, wow, this is how a community comes together and there's engagement in civics. But, you know, that keeping us connected together, we do better. And I think you and the energy you bring to the chamber and your team and everybody on the board, I mean, it's just such a great, you know, this is what we're facing, but we can do this together. And it's been fun. And it's fun. Let's just add it. I mean, you go to a chamber event, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And so let's not be afraid of saying that sometimes we can celebrate while we do our work.
Yes. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
So that's
yes.
a really long answer, but it's really, the chamber has really been a great part of why Gillette can be successful, and we appreciate it.
Wow. That's good to hear. I appreciate that. And then, you know, before we end, I want to make sure folks know how to get a hold of you. So folks want to get involved, learn more, participate in your events, Illuminate the Night, which is on my calendar. People, I look forward to seeing you all there. How do people find out more about you?
Right. So you can go on the web, which I think everybody's online now at GilletteChildrens.org. You can email us, you know, just put my name, GilletteChildrens.org is every way that you can get us, online, email. But most importantly, when I'm out in the community, what I love about St. Paul and the region and really across Minnesota is that people come up and say hi.
Oh, yeah.
And that I'm an emotional leader. And I mean, the whole spectrum of emotions for those who work with me. But when I am out and about and someone comes up and says hi, and they recognize Gillette, one, I know I'm out there and our teams are out there, but I hear those stories, and that's what gets our whole organization through, is when people from around our region come up and say, hey, Gillette, thanks for being there and going through. So just come up and say hi. We're a pretty approachable group.
Yes, indeed. That's very true. So unfortunately, Darren, we've run out of time. I just wanted to thank you again for talking with me. I appreciate your time, your friendship, your energy. I appreciate all that Gillette is doing to serve the community. So thank you so much, Barbara.
Oh, thank you, Bea, and thank your team.
Well, and thanks to all of you listeners for joining us for Bea's Table Talk. We do have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to more amazing people like Barbara in the greater MSP region and hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to the new normal ahead of us. So thanks to all for listening, and we will see you in the trenches.